This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
Deuteronomy chapter number 6. We'll begin reading in verse number 20. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Verse number 23, let's read it again out loud together. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. If you want to put a note by that verse, you could put Psalm 34, verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, Moses is going over for a new generation why they were brought out of Egypt. And he's reminding this generation the reason that they were brought out of Egypt is so that God might bring them in to a new country. They were brought out of one land to be brought into another land. They were brought out of one place to be brought into another place. They were brought from one piece of real estate so that they could be taken into another piece of real estate. They left the banner of one flag so that they could get under the banner of God's flag. They left the kindred of one place so that their kindred would be of another place. They left the blood of one land so that they could enter the blood of a new land. And up until about 45 seconds ago, I had no idea why God had laid this verse on my heart. Verse number 23. And he brought us out so that he might bring us in. 300 years ago, our forefathers landed upon this continent, unsure where they would land, unsure what it would be like when they got here. Now, for all of my brothers and sisters who are theologians, understand that the nation that was here is not what I'm talking about today. This was a physical kingdom, and what I'm preaching about today is a spiritual kingdom. What they had was a nation of flesh and blood, and what I'm preaching about today is a nation of holy priests and kings in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these men left one place and went to another over 300 years ago. When our forefathers got on the backs of ships and crossed over into lands that they had no idea what it would be, they landed on a continent, and this is the only thing that they knew. They knew that they had to leave the bondage of an old place and the chains of an old place because they were not free to worship God. And they knew that God had prepared for them a place where they could raise their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do not believe for one second. Do not believe for one minute what brain-dead, educational, academic liberals want you to believe. The reason, the real reason, that our forefathers crossed over the Atlantic Ocean is because they sought a country where they could worship God freely and pay their tithes to God first and not to the king. Do not believe. I felt some tension when I said that. Evidently, many of you have not read history books. You need to understand that the reason we landed on this continent, our forefathers, and the reason they risked life and limb is because the crown had told them that you serve through his church, and if you don't do it our way, and our forefathers, they said, no, we believe the Bible, and the writing of the King James Bible was absolutely instrumental in lay people like me and you, common rednecks. I know they weren't rednecks in England, but they were forefathers of rednecks who could not understand Latin and they could not understand Greek, but they could read in English. So in 16, I feel like history lesson would be in order today. So in 1607, King James I set out that it ought to be the common people that could read a common language so that common people could talk to a holy God. And so in 1607, King James set about the court called the Hampton Court, and these men of brilliant Hebrew scholars and Greek scholars set about to translate from the ancient Hebrew and the ancient Greek so that people in English could read the Bible, and it became what is known as the King James Bible. 5 or 4.5 years later, in 1611, a copy was put out and it was stamped upon. That's why if you have a King James Bible, if you look in the front of your Bible, there is a decree made by James I. And it is talks about what he put and why he allowed the Bible to be translated. Now, the Bible you hold in your hand is not a 1611 King James Bible. You could not read that. The copy you hold in your hand was written in the 1700s and retranslated and put into common modern day English. But what happened was this, was the common Englishman and the common Briton and common people in that day, they got the Bible and this is what they realized. They realized, wait a second, what the priests has been telling us and what the church has been telling us is not the way that God intended for it to be. And so they said, you know what? This cannot be, because Britain had settled these colonies so that it could expand her empire. But those pilgrims, they had been cast out of the Church of England and they would not assume the name of the crown. And they said, no, it is not supposed to be this way. And so they got on ships and they crossed over the sea and they said, God, if you will allow us, we will raise our children in the nurture. And of course, I'm giving you the redneck version. If you want to read a big book about it, you need to go read What Hath God Wrought by Dr. Bill Grady. It's a great book. You would really enjoy it if you like reading 800 pages of history. If you don't, let me give you the 30-second version. Rednecks over there said, we ain't going to act this way. God told us to do it one way. We're going to get and trust God, and we're going to leave one place and go to another place so that the God that saved our forefathers can be our God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters. The reason that you and I have freedom today is because of those men that paid the price back then. And they did not just pay it with their wallet and their pocketbook and their money. They paid it with their lives. They paid it with their farms. They paid it with their homes. They paid it with their children. They paid the price so that free men and free women could worship in freedom and in righteousness. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what's happened. Those wars have been fought. The Revolutionary War was fought. And then the War of 1812 was fought to maintain freedom. And the American Revolution was to maintain that freedom that those men in 1776 signed on that declaration. Do you know why the Civil War was fought? It was not fought just over slavery. Read, brothers and sisters. It was fought because of the oppression of the liberal North that was moving south and was beginning to trample upon the freedoms. It was and did involve slavery, and that is a black mark that should have been erased with the writing and signing of the American Revolution, the American Declaration. But listen, men are not perfect, and it was wrong, but the Civil War was fought over that, and it was paid. And then Abraham Abraham Lincoln stood up, I believe with all of my heart, Abraham Lincoln was a man who knew God and did the will of God, and he united a nation. Do you know why World War I was fought? It was not fought because they bombed and because they assassinated. It was fought because the devil said that there was an empire in a land that was serving God, and there's a confusion. You've got to understand the spiritual way. And you know what happened? America rose up in World War I, and they joined the Allies, and the Allies got together. It was not called the Allies then. World War I goes down, and then all of a sudden World War II comes up, and Adolf Hitler. Do you know Adolf Hitler was not just a Nazi? Adolf Hitler was an atheist. He did not believe in God. He believed that the state was God. And America rose up, attacked December the 7th, 1941 at Pearl Harbor. And God blew that place apart because he knew that there were a people that would fight. And some of you may have fought in that. Some of you may have had grandparents that fought in that. Some of you may have had people that fought in that. Do you know why they fought? They fought for freedom's sake, and they fought for liberty's sake. The reason we don't raise our hands to the sky right now in a Nazi salute, and the reason we take four fingers with our thumb tucked underneath and put it to our eyebrow is because your grandmother and your grandfather said, my life is not near as important as my baby's freedom. My life is not near as important as my children's freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, World War II was fought for that. And then the Korean War, it's always a battle between oppression and freedom. If you'll ever look back, it's always a battle between liberty and oppression. And our forefathers fought at Korea. They fought in Vietnam. They fought at Grenada. And they fought. Do you know why they fought? It wasn't just for communism. It was because the oppression of communism was sweeping into our nation. And my brothers and our sisters and our fathers and our forefathers said, no. I want my children to be free men. I want my children to be able to worship God. And here's what happened. All of the wars, the Iraq War, the first Iraq War, the second Iraq War, all of this was fought for freedom and liberty's sake. Do not come out the door and talk to me about what you read on some conspiracy theory website. You're crackhead and brain dead, just like the guy that wrote that stuff. It's all a fight between oppression and liberty. And here's what I'm saying. The devil has conned our kids and conned this generation. And he's told them it's all about pleasure. Drink it up to the fill. Drink it up. Smoke it up. Live it up. And our freedom has allowed our children to go headlong into demons and headlong into demonic warfare. But here's what you've got to realize, brothers and sisters. We were brought out so we could be brought in. Here's my question. Why would God allow us to have freedom? We were brought out of one place physically and spiritually. How many of you this morning, not ashamed? I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay? Why would God save you? Was it just to go to heaven? If it was, why aren't you there? He didn't just bring you out to bring you out. He brought you out so he could bring you in. Let me take a time out because this has been stirring in my heart like some of y'all's roast beef that's stirring for supper tonight. It's been stirring in my heart. Some of you have been brought out, but you've not realized you've been brought out. Man, you've got to, you think about those Jewish slaves. They had those cusps around their ankles. They had those clasps around their wrists. And when God finally set them free, they loosed those chains. But have you ever heard of the ghost limb? You ever heard whenever somebody will lose an arm, they still think that that arm is there? And when somebody gets a chain released, they still think that that thing is there? I wonder how long it took those Jewish slaves, those Hebrews, as they got out of Pharaoh's land and they got out of Egypt. I wonder how long they did this, Bob. Thinking that those shackles were still on them. Thinking that those things were still on them. I believe when they got to the Jordan River or the bottom of Mount Sinai rather, and they saw the fire and the power of God, I wonder if when they saw God and all of his holiness and all of his righteousness, they finally realized, I'm not under the bondage anymore. I'm not in the shackles anymore. It doesn't have a hold on me anymore. Pharaoh's not my king anymore. I'm under a new banner. I'm in a new army. I've got a new father. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what you've got to realize. Some of you been saved by the grace of God, been given a home in heaven. God has written your name in the Lamb's book of life. You've been erased, your sins from the as far as the east is from the west. But the devil comes at you and reminds you of your past and reminds you what you used to be like, and you can't move forward because you have not realized that you've been brought out. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't serve sin anymore. I don't serve the devil anymore. I don't serve those ways anymore. You know why? Because the chains have been taken off and the chains have fallen off. Here's what I'm telling you. If you've got chains that still binds you, you may want to make sure you're not still in Egypt's land. I believe there are a lot of people that have prayed prayers. I believe there's a lot of people that have tried to be religious, but you can't religion your way out of chains. A deliverer has to release you. Man, listen, I was like most of you all. I grew up in church, raised on drugs. Drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, drugged to church Wednesday night, drugged to church at revival times, drugged to church. And I was like most of you all. You prayed prayers. I think I prayed a prayer when I was 6, something like that. But you know, when I was 16 years old, has nothing to do with age, but when I was 16 years old, I remember that day like it was yesterday. I can still see it. I can still feel it. When I finally realized, when the Holy Ghost turned the lights on inside of my heart, and I realized, wait a second, big boy, you've never trusted Christ. You've trusted a prayer. You've not trusted Christ. You've trusted being a church member. Because this is what I do. Well, I got baptized. Listen, if you're sitting there right now and you're confused about this, God's not dealing with you. It's those of you right now that are saying, wait a second. Wait a second. I'm not trying to talk you out of something. I'm not trying to talk you into something. I'm just telling you the way it is. I was 16 years old. And God showed me I was lost. And that day, I knelt in that pew. I told y'all about that Wednesday night or last Sunday night, whenever it was. Man, I got there in that pew. I said, oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. 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 And God saved me that day. I walked out the door, and I told that teacher that hated my guts, but I knew God wanted me to tell that woman. She thought I was the devil, and I thought she was his sister. I mean, I went up to that woman, and I told her, I said, Miss Groves, I said, I trusted Christ. I put my faith in Christ. I got saved. She looked at me with tears in her eyes, and she said, son, I knew God was going to do it one day. And you know what happened? 16 years old, I got saved. I got set free, but I hadn't yet realized that the chains were gone. Don't get mad at young Christians when they don't act like Christians. Listen, if you and I were perfect, we'd be bowing at the feet of Jesus right now. God begins the sanctification work. When I was 18 years old, you know what finally happened to me? I realized the chains were gone. I realized I'd been brought out. I realized those chains didn't have any power over me. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, child of God. God didn't save you just for the feeling of the chain to get off. He saved you so you would get out. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Listen to me. Some of you need to realize this morning, when you got saved, the chains fell off. You say, I don't feel like it. You don't feel chains. And if you do, it doesn't matter. If the chains are gone, they're gone. Now look, I normally preach 3 times on Sunday. I'm only going to do it 1 time, so you just let me do what I'm going to do, okay? But wait a second. Why did God release your chains? He brought us out that what? Bring us in. Do you know where most churches have lost it? They've forgotten that God doesn't just save people so we can put the numbers on a board. Can I tell you something? It makes me puking sick. Numbers and number games, and I had 5,000, and I had 200, and our church was packed wall to wall, and I go preach revival. Heath goes and preach revival. There ain't enough in there to warm a chigger's foot. Dead as a hammer, dead as a dog. You know why? Because it isn't about numbers. It's not about how many you brought out. It's about how many are you taking in. Here's my point. Some of you right now, you say, God, what are you doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He brought you out. You know what he's doing? He's bringing you in. Why am I going through this? I'll tell you why. Because he's taking you somewhere. Amen. Why are you doing it? You're going somewhere. Why is it? You're going somewhere. Listen. Christopher Columbus, Amerigo Vespucci, John Smith, the guy that married Pocahontas. Why did God do with them what he did? It wasn't just to bring them out. He wanted to bring them in. Now stop, and this is where I'm going. Maybe God will let me put both of these together, Lord. I was watching Brother Ralph Sexton preach the other night, and he was talking about the opioid problems in America. Just as clear as I'm sitting here talking to you. It was like the Holy Ghost said, now Tyler, listen to what he says. Opioids aren't America's problem. Do you know what America's problem is? It's not alcohol. It's not opioids. It's not drugs. It's not prostitutes. You know what America's problem is? Spiritless churches. Do you know why? Because the reason that most opioid users go out there to find them is because when they come in here and other churches today, God won't be within 1,000 miles of the place. Don't you dare think that just because it is the way it is in here, it's like this out there. Most people are going to go through a routine today. They're going to have a deadhead preacher, young and old, white, black, red, purple, fat, skinny, rich, poor. And he's going to get up there and he's going to read from his lethargy and he's going to have his 3 points. You don't know how bad I wanted 3 points today. I wanted a poem. I wanted a nice little song. I wanted this, but God wouldn't give it to me. God wouldn't give it to me. And I said, God, why not? Because the power is not in the 3 points in the poem. The power is not in the song. The power to change our nation is in the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Listen to me. How many alcoholics? It is my firm, but I'm not a counselor. I'm not a doctor. I'm none of that. I'm barely a good redneck. I'm barely holding on to that redneck title because I hate hunting. And the only reason they let me keep my redneck card is because I hate golfing. Rednecks don't golf either. Listen to me. It's my firm redneck belief. Alcoholics don't really want to be alcoholics. I believe that. It's my firm belief that drug heads, dope heads, they don't really want to be drug heads and dope heads. It's my firm belief that prostitutes don't really want to be prostitutes. Like it, lump it, bump it. I'm just telling you. You know what I think? I think they're certain for something, and when they go into the place where they're told that something is, it's not there. They're not looking for a feeling. They're looking for something real. They're looking for people who've been brought out. And they want to get in that caravan of those people that are going in. That's my belief. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Hear me and hear me well. Brother Scott, I'm done. Here's what's happening right now in our nation. Here's what's happening in our nation right now. The devil is pointing. Watch me. Watch me. The devil's pointing in all different directions. There's the issue. There's the issue. There's the issue. There's the issue. The church points their fingers at all types of things. There's the issue. That's the issue. That's the issue. That's it. That's it. That's it. And the whole time, the devil never, ever allows us to see the issue. You know what the issue is? God's not allowed in the place where God's supposed to be. Amen. Among the people of God. And they come into the tabernacle. They come in among the people of God. And not one thing is supernatural about any of it. Nothing. Not one thing. Not one song has power and juice on it. You say, what's power and juice? You'll know the difference when you hear one and when you ain't don't hear one. Amen. Ain't don't hear one. You'll know the difference. You'll know the difference. You'll know it. You know why? Because songs that ain't got it go from here to here. Songs that do have it go from here to here. And they lay anchor in a place that cannot be seen in the spirit of man. And that faith breeds life. The word breeds faith. Faith breeds life. It's over there. It's what they wear. It's over there. It's how they act. Then they get in church. It's over there. It's what they sing. It's over there. It's how he preaches. He preaches too loud. He preaches too soft. He runs around too much. He doesn't move. They play the piano. They use a guitar. They have drums. They have congos. They sing with no music. They have more music. Their young people don't do this. Their young people do that. And God the whole time is saying, does nobody see the real problem? We point all over, don't we? But isn't it amazing to anybody else? I can be real because y'all my people and I'm your preacher. Churches that wear pants and churches that wear skirts, they're both dead. You know why? Because it isn't in pants and it isn't in skirts. Preachers that wear coats and preachers that don't sweat and do sweat, they're both dead. Both of them. You know why? Because God's not there. You know how you'll know when God shows up? Because through the foolishness of preaching, something grabs you. Listen! Hear! And the whole time the devil says, look, fool, but it still jerks you. Look at him, waste. He's crazy. And all of a sudden, the truth will get in your heart. And something inside will start saying, you know he's right. You know he's telling the truth. And all of a sudden, there'll be this glimmer of hope. That's the real thing I've been looking for. Carrie, I travel out of the country about every year. And one thing I do detest about going outside the country is the Coke. I land in Israel, or I'll land it in Switzerland, or I've landed wherever I'll land. I've been in Costa Rica. And there's something, it says Coke, but it's, it says it's real, but honey, I'm telling you, it ain't. Some of you boys been across the sea in the army. You know what I'm talking about. It ain't. And then all of a sudden, I hit customs coming back in. I land on the U.S. of A. soil. The first thing Tyler Curtis does, I don't care if it's $90 bottle of Coke. I do not care. I run over. And I look at it and I say, that looks like the real thing, but I've been fooled before. And I'll go up to it and I'll say, you know, I don't know if I can really afford, should I really, is it really worth it? I'll try it. And as soon as it hits my tongue, I know this. That's the real thing. Some of you right now, you've seen things that look and you've been duped before. But there's a nail-scarred Nazarene called Jesus. And you're saying, can I really afford to follow him? Can I really afford to trust him? Getting real close right now. Psalm 86. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is gracious, merciful. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. For God so loved the world. This morning, Christians, I'll tell you what. I don't understand it fully, but I do know this. Some of you have got such a hunger in your heart right now to go deeper with God. Some of you right now, God's done a work in this church. God's done a work among this people. I have no idea all that God's done. I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd say, God, I've been duped before. I ain't even messing with that stuff. I'm going to pay the price and get the real thing. I'm just going to keep on going. Just going to keep on trudging. Why? Because he brought me out. You know what that must mean? He's bringing me in somewhere.